The New American Weekly presents Front Page Drama.
Never mind, Grace, dear. Just forgive and forget. Your sister doesn't mean to be unkind.
Mother, Margaret practically scolded me. She said I should pull myself together and become a normal, healthy girl again. She said I should look forward, not back. Well, she made me feel just awful.
Oh, there, there, dear. Leave it to Mother. I'll find a way to stop Margaret's interfering. I'll find a way.
Sometimes Grace Gifford despaired of ever feeling young and alive again, so great was her grief. And while her family meant well, they seemed only to add to her troubles. Listen now to Front Page Drama, an absorbing story brought to you by the New American Weekly, the great magazine distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. The widowed and well-to-do Mrs. Lavinia Gifford lived in a comfortable house in suburban Wesleyville with her last unmarried daughter, Grace. Mother and daughter were busily engaged one afternoon in preparation for Grace's coming wedding to Douglas Watts when...
Will you answer it, please, Grace?
Certainly, Mother. Maybe Doug is home from his trip. Hello? Yes. Yes, this is Miss Gifford. Oh. No. No. I can't believe it.
My darling, whatever is it?
Mother, it's Doug. He was on a plane that crashed. He was killed.
Oh, no.
Oh, Doug. Doug!
Several weeks later, Mrs. Gifford was out for the afternoon and arrived home to find Grace walking up and down the living room.
Grace, dear, don't wear yourself out like that. Relax, and I'll fix you a cup of chocolate.
Margaret was here. She said she thought I'd feel better if I exerted myself more. She even suggested I go back to work.
Nonsense. There's no point in using up what little strength you have when your father left us enough to get along on. Your sister means well, but she doesn't understand how frail you are. What's that? Is there an animal in the kitchen?
It's a puppy named Doodle. Margaret put him out there to eat some food she brought for him. I'll let him in.
No, Grace, sit still. Down! Down! Go away!
He's so pleased to be in here with us. Well, he's really kind of cute, isn't he?
We'll have to get him outside at once. Here, doggy. Here, doggy. Out you go. There. What on earth is Margaret thinking about leaving that dog here? He'd be too much trouble for you. I'll telephone Margaret to come and get him.
Oh, she's going to call this evening anyhow to find out what I decide about Sunday. I told her I'd ask
if
you...
If she wants you to come to dinner again so soon, I'm afraid I can't allow it. Of course, Ned is a good husband to her, but he's very exuberant and sometimes quite wearing.
And she's invited a young man. She says he's very nice. He's new in town. She thinks I should meet him.
Grace. Have you forgotten that it's just a matter of weeks since Douglas...
No, Mother. I haven't forgotten. I might as well tell you all she said. She thinks it's unwholesome for me to spend so much time talking about Doug. That it's not being loyal to his memory, but just morbid and silly.
Never mind, Grace, dear. Just forgive and forget. Your sister doesn't mean to be unkind.
But Mother, Margaret practically scolded me. She said I should pull myself together and become a normal, healthy girl again. She said I should look forward, not back. Well, she made me feel just awful.
There, there, dear. Leave it to Mother. I'll find a way to stop Margaret's interfering. I'll find a way.
Awakening earlier than usual the next morning, Grace was surprised to find herself the topic of her mother's telephone conversation with the family doctor.
Yes, John.
Unaware that Grace was standing on the landing, waiting to go downstairs.
No, John, not at all. I think what you must do is to impress it on Margaret to stop interfering with my care of Grace. If it comes from the doctor, Margaret will listen, all right. Yes. Well, I knew you'd understand. Thank you, John. Yes. Goodbye. Grace, it's you. I didn't hear you. I didn't know you were up yet. I'll fix your orange juice right away.
Oh, never mind, Mother. I'm going downtown, and I'll get breakfast later.
What do you mean you're going downtown? You haven't been out of the house much since Douglas...
I haven't, Mother. But just now, on the stairway, I decided that I would go out of the house. In fact, I'm going to get my hair dressed and meet Margaret for lunch. Perhaps I'll even accept a date with that new young man who's here in town.
But, Grace, I don't think Dr. John would permit it. When I was talking with him just now, he said he'd try to solve your problem,
but Mother, I have no problem,
but
really.
But you have, dearest. And you must listen to your doctor, who has your interests most at heart. Promise me you'll find out about his plan before you make any rash move.
All right, Mother. I promise.
Does the old family doctor really have Grace's interest at heart? Or has he joined forces with the girl's strong-willed mother to make a recluse of her? Listen in just a moment as the American Weekly brings you the amazing climax to this front-page drama. Reaching your newsstands just prior to the inauguration, the January 18th issue of the American Weekly will concentrate on that great historical event. Highlighting the issue will be a special inaugural presentation on President-elect and Mrs. Eisenhower, with exclusive color photographs taken especially for the American Weekly. There will also be an unusual composite painting by C.C. Beale, showing various phases in President-elect Eisenhower's life from birth to presidency. You'll want to save this special issue as a souvenir of a great day. It's the January 18th issue of the American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. And now, back to our front-page drama. As Grace and her mother were knitting before the library fireplace the following afternoon.
No, don't get up, dear. I'll answer the door. Yes?
Are you Mrs. Gifford?
Yes.
I'm Arthur Jonas, Dr. Jonas. Dr. John Dunn suggested that I stop by. I'm new in town, and I've joined his office.
Dr. Dunn didn't tell me that you were...
Oh, didn't he call? Well, he's very busy, and he probably forgot. He thought I should talk with your daughter,
but
and
this
perhaps...
is so unlike John. I really think he should have phoned
What
before...
is it, Mother?
Oh, Grace. This is Dr. Jonas. My daughter Grace, Doctor.
How are you, Miss
Gifford?
How
do you do?
Shall we go into the library? That's a comfortable chair right there, Doctor.
Thank you, Mrs. Gifford. I wonder if I might talk with your daughter alone.
Why, yes. Yes, I suppose you may. Excuse me.
Making her way to the upstairs telephone, Mrs. Gifford quickly dialed the number of Dr. John Dunn.
Hello? John? It's Lavinia Gifford. John, it's so unlike you to send out a perfectly strange doctor to see Grace. Oh, you forgot to call. I see. Well, newer ideas. Well, do you think that these newer ideas which he has will benefit Grace? I see. Well, I've never known you to be wrong in the past, so I'll go along with you this time. All right. Goodbye, John.
Meanwhile, in the library, Grace and young Dr. Jonas were having a quiet conversation.
Yes, Miss Gifford, I met Douglas at a Rotary luncheon just after I got into town. Seemed like a very nice chap.
He was, Doctor.
I've met lots of nice people since I joined Dr. Dunn's staff. In fact, two of my favorite people are your sister Margaret and Ned.
Oh, do you know Margaret and Ned?
Well, I've gone stag to a couple of Saturday night dances at the country club, and they've been kind enough to ask me to join them.
Margaret loves those dances. She gets such a kick out of life.
I imagine you would, too, if you gave yourself a chance.
But
I have an idea. Perhaps some Saturday night we could join Margaret and Ned at the club.
Well, yes, I'd like that. I'd like that very much.
Thank you. Well, I have some more calls to make, and I'd better be on my way. I'm glad to have met you, Miss Gifford.
Oh, don't go yet, Doctor. I'd like a word with you. Grace, dear, will you go into the kitchen and look at the thermostat and the oven?
Yes, Mother. Goodbye, Dr. Jonas.
Goodbye.
Do you think, Doctor, that you can help Grace? That she'll respond to these new ideas of yours?
Oh, I'm quite sure she will, Mrs. Gifford. You just leave that to me.
Finally, when young Dr. Jonas and Grace had known each other for several months, they decided one evening to have a talk with Mrs. Gifford.
We're in here, Mother, by the fire.
Who's in here by the... Why, Dr. Jonas, weren't you just here this afternoon? I hope Grace...
Yes, ma'am, I was, but you see, that was a professional visit. Now I'm here to ask you
Mother, I can't wait any longer. Look
at what?
My hand.
What's wrong with your hand?
Nothing's wrong, darling. Don't you see? My ring.
But who... What?
I'm afraid we've been pretty secretive about this, ma'am, but Grace and I are engaged to be...
Grace and you are... Why, you're out of your... Why, I'll call John Dunn and have you thrown out of this town. How dare you...
But Mother, I'm so happy. Isn't that what you want for me?
Happy indeed. Why, you sneak, you scoundrel. Coming into my home and stealing her affections. Perhaps I should have listened to Margaret. Perhaps I should have let you go out with that young man who was a friend of Ned's.
But, Mother, I meant to tell you. Aside being Dr. Dunn's assistant, Dr. Jonas, Arthur, happens to be the young man Margaret wanted me to go out with.
One happy ending followed another. For Grace's mother, seeing the light of happiness in her daughter's eyes, finally softened toward her marriage to young Dr. Jonas. This has been another front page drama brought to you by the New American Weekly. Naturally, real names have not been used. Do you recall the sensational disappearance of two British diplomats in 1951? Have you wondered what happened to them? Eric Ambler, world-famous writer of spy stories, wondered too, and in a special series of articles starting in the January 18th issue of the American Weekly, he tells you what he thinks happened. The series is entitled Those Disappearing Diplomats, and in it, Ambler reviews all the facts and circumstances of the disappearance and gives what he thinks is the solution. It makes exciting reading. Remember the title, Those Disappearing Diplomats, starting in the January 18th issue of the American Weekly, distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper, on sale in this city.